Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, it certainly starts with Herbert for us. I feel like we caught a flyer a year ago. He was limited from a mobility perspective when we played him. I thought it impacted how the game unfolded, but it allowed us to do some things schematically that you're somewhat hesitant to do if he has full mobility. Herbert is extremely talented. He can kill you with his arms. He certainly can kill you with his legs. He can kill you with both by play extension. He has a complete arsenal of people to throw to.
All those things are true. Mike Tomlin talking about Justin Herbert. Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. How are you feeling, folks, about Chargers-Steelers? We've given some of our thoughts. We'll continue to do so. We'll break this bad boy down. But we want to hear from you, Angela in Beachview. We want to hear from you, Anthony in Oakland. We want to hear from you, Bob in Monroeville. Give us a ring. Open phones until 8 o'clock, 412-928-9370. I think it begins and ends with this stat pretty much every time the Steelers play, Doran. They're 4-0 when they win the turnover battle. And how about this one? Saw this from Matt Williamson on Steelers.com. Steelers have a plus 50 points off turnover differential over their opponents. That's the best in the league. The Chargers are minus 36. As bad as I felt about the Indianapolis Colts matchup last week, I feel that good about this one. I got a great feeling about this game. Their tackles are out. The Steelers seem to find some of their defensive identity last week. I kind of think it's a good matchup. Now, they got a lot of eligibles, as Mike Tomlin would say. So they're going to stress your defense. But from that standpoint, they're kind of similar to Indianapolis, where they got a bunch of guys that can beat you. Steelers were able to handle it last week. I think you stop the run, you're going to hit this guy. And if you hit this guy, I think you're going to win the turnover battle. And if you win the turnover battle, I think you're going to go 5-0 when you win it. So I like the Steelers. I got them winning this thing like 27-19.
Do you think it looks like it looked this past Sunday? On offense, because on defense, clearly you're saying that you got to win the turnover battle, and if they do, it'll look like last week on defense. Do you think on offense it looks the same as it did against the Colts? Like, are they scraping and clawing, or does it look more fluid?
I think last week, I'm going off what we've seen so far, I think it's the aberration offensively.
Okay.
Like, it was the first game in a little while that they haven't run the ball effectively, and I think they're going to run it better this week. I think that was probably their point of emphasis. And if you run it, then everything else opens up for you. I don't know. What do you think?
I think it does look better. I do. I think I get weird feelings like this whenever things kind of transpire. Like whenever you hear the Steelers are looking for a receiver. Oh, they missed out on Jacoby Myers. Oh, they missed out on Rashid Shaheed. Oh, but you know what? They signed MVS to the practice squad. Will MVS be up? I think Calvin Austin's going to go off. Like I think Pat Freiermuth's going to go off. I think that this whole receiving game is going to be like, oh, look, we don't need a Jacoby Myers. We don't need a Rashid Shaheed. We don't even need MVS. We'll take care of it. I get weird feelings like that whenever things like then things transpire to kind of fix issues. Usually the issues go away immediately, and then it's like, okay, well, I guess we really didn't need to go that direction, at least for this game. So I think that somebody like Calvin Austin's going to have his best game on Sunday, and I think that that's going to lead to the Steelers looking way better on offense.
Well, if not now, when, right?
Yeah.
Because now you got a guy in Marquez Valdes-Scantling that if he's not up for this game, if you don't go out there and play well, I mean, he's just getting closer and closer to getting into the lineup. So you got to keep him at arm's length. I like that. 412-928-9370. The Chargers have four pass catchers with between 453 and 524 receiving yards, including their tight end. And the Steelers, going into the last game against Indianapolis, had given up more yards against tight ends than any team in football. They'd given up 555 yards to tight ends going in.
Nice.
And they totally took Tyler Warren out of the game. I think Jalen Ramsey had a ton to do with that, playing free safety. In the first drive of the game, he eviscerated Warren. And I love to see that, and we know that he's going to play free safety this week. If you can take their tight end out of the game, that's a big deal. Their tight end's really good. He's not one of these name brand tight ends that everyone, Tyler Warren, Brock Bowers, name your favorite tight ends, but he's been really productive for them. And if you can take him out of the game and you can stop the run, I think those are the keys. Should we go to the phones?
Yes.
Rick in Saxonburg first up today. Good morning, Rick.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're good. Great. Yeah.
I don't think that the Steelers are going to be able to stop the pass catchers this week. I think that Justin Herbert is going to throw all over this defense. Daniel Jones threw over 300 passing yards again for another week. And the Chargers aren't built to run the football. A crazy stat that you guys might poach off of me, I think that Justin Herbert is going to throw the ball 60 times in this game.
If he throws it 60 times, he's going to get sacked 5 times, at least. He got sacked 6 times last week. He's gotten hit more than any quarterback in football. He's been sacked 28 times, third most in the league. He's been hit 80 times, and that's with Joe Alt in and out of the lineup. Now he's just out of the lineup. If they want to drop back and throw it 60 times, they're asking for a loss. I totally disagree. I think they want to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
That's who Greg Roman is. That's mm-hmm. who Jim Harbaugh is.
Yeah.
And last year, they turned Justin Herbert into the best game manager in the league, and he's not been that this year. He's thrown it more, but they want to run the football, especially in a game like this against these pass rushers without your top two tackles. You think they want Trevor Penning to have to drop back and pass pro 60 times? Hell no.
Well, what was their approach last year? It was kind of just protect Justin Herbert because he was banged up, and then he obviously got out of the game. I think you look at their approach and you go back, if you have some time, and watch the game from last year, and I think it'll be the opposite approach of what they tried to do last year. I can't really remember.
They did try to run it. They did try to run it, and Justin Fields played a good game in that one. But they were protecting him because he clearly couldn't move.
He couldn't move.
I'm not saying they don't want Herbert to have a big impact on the game, but I think they know they can invite the Steelers in very comfortably if they drop him back to throw a ton. Like, the Steelers' pass rush in their last, 4 wins has 23 sacks and has forced a whole bunch of turnovers. Like, you don't want to play that game. Like, I'd run early to throw late and see where it goes.
I just wonder if the way that the Steelers' run defense played last on Sunday against Jonathan Taylor spooks them a little bit.
It could.
It's like, you stopped the best running back in the league right now.
That said, I'd be more spooked if I were them by how they played against the Titans when Herbert got sacked 6 times, and that's not a great pass rush.
Right.
I think they went out and they got Penning. If they protect Herbert and Penning plays well enough, I'm going to lose my mind, especially if, like, a Steelers wide receiver has a key drop in the game. Like, they went out and they got a guy, and you didn't go out and get a guy. Now, MVS might play well. We'll see. We're going to talk to Chris Carter at 8. He'll have a better idea of that than we will.
I mean, if I'm a team right now, I'm targeting Joey Porter Jr. Like, I know that he played a little bit better last week, but I mean, if whoever the receiver that he is covering, like, I am targeting, because you're probably going to get extra yards.
Yeah.
I'm going after him all game. All game. Every single time that I have an opportunity to throw his way, I will, because it's probably going to lead to something successful.
Yeah. He had a pick last week. He had 4 passes defense. He also had those 2 penalties, to your point. When you throw the ball in Joey Porter's direction, he's not a ball hawk. I know he caught it last week. He was impressing his dad in the 05 Steelers defense. Even Ike Taylor caught one in the Super Bowl 40, Doran. But when you throw it in his direction, you can give up a completion. You can get a penalty. It could be an incompletion. The thing that's least likely to happen is a turnover.
Right.
It just is. And then you flip it to the other side with Darius Slay. That's the one thing that worries me about Ramsey playing free safety. He's not as good in man-to-man coverage as I think any of us thought he would be coming into the year. But,
Slay?
Well, he's definitely not.
Oh, Ramsey. Okay.
Ramsey. Gotcha. I loved him at free safety. But now you got to rely on those other guys.
Right.
And even though Ramsey's taken a step back probably as a corner, he's still better than Darius Slay. And he's still probably better than Joey Porter Jr. That's why it's such a big statement game. Like, Joey, you had a pretty good game last week. Go out and do it again. Because they got the eligible story. Scott in the car, hello.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. First time caller.
Really? Thank you.
My first time calling into the show.
Love it.
Listen to you all the time, but first time caller.
Thank you.
Thanks for what you guys do every morning. So, question to you. Two things. First thing is, I think the key is keep them in the pocket, Herbert, and pressure them, and you win the game. My question to both of you gentlemen, what do you think the key is, both offensively and defensively? And I'll listen to you on the radio. Thanks for the call.
Well, you just said Scott. The turnover battle.
Yeah.
So win that. From my side, win the turnover battle. Clearly, easier said than done. On offense, I think that you need to get DK going. Like I know that he has a lot of eyes on him, but if you get DK going, and even if it's some, you know, quick passes, if it's a slant or whatever, and he takes one like 30, 40 yards, just get his confidence going, and I think that he'll dominate the football game.
I think getting DK going is one of the biggest storylines of the season now. He is 40th among all wide receivers in targets per game. He is third in yards after catch, so he's making a lot out of nothing. Ben said it on his podcast, throw it up to your monster.
Mm-hmm.
Throw it up to your monster. You gots to. I'm with you on that. The other thing, first caller said, last week Indianapolis got a lot of yards. They did. I mean, the Steelers have given up a bunch of passing yards every week. I don't necessarily think that's going to change, but I do think the key is stop the run and make them one-dimensional, and you're going to give up big plays, but you're also hopefully going to create big plays. So I think you got to stop the run. If you stop the run, you got a chance to get Herbert on the ground. But yeah, he's gonna run all over you. I mean, he had 90 yards in a game against the Steelers before. That guy is dangerous on the ground. So I do wonder how the Steelers are going to approach that from a rushing the passer standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mush rush. I mean, he's not mm-hmm. Lamar, but...
He can move.
He can move.
Yes, he can.
He can run. Troy Apke. Text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. You picked up what I was putting down.
Yep.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We spent a lot of time there talking about the defense against the offense of the Chargers. How about we flip it on its head when we come back? What did Tomlin have to say about the defense for Los Angeles? And we, of course, want to hear from you. Open phones until 8. How are you feeling about Steelers-Chargers? 412-928-9370.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Los Angeles Chargers got a lot of respect for Jesse Minerman and his strategic approach to the game on that side. He does an awesome job of minimizing big plays. He does an awesome job of moving Derwin James around. Derwin is just, he's the straw that stirs the drink for them.
Derwin James, good player. Remember Quentin Jammer?
Yeah.
Big fan of him.
Corner?
Yeah.
Yeah, only reason why I remember he was a corner because you jam at...
Aptly named.
Yep.
Great name for a corner.
Yep.
Who was the other guy? The little dude? The white guy? Weddle? Eric Weddle?
Yeah. Yeah. Safety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How about Eric him?
Weddle. Yeah.
Biggest mm-hmm. Steeler-Charger crossover player has to be Kevin Green.
Yes.
Kevin Green, who got into the Hall of Fame, RIP,
mm-hmm.
Was a very nice man. And I met him and did a radio segment with him, and his handshake about broke my hand.
Yeah.
I mean, a big guy. Masculine guy.
Yeah.
Some say that he and I have similar body types, Doran. Me and Kevin Green. You give us a ring on the hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I do feel like the Steelers got to try to establish the run on Sunday night. Chargers gave up just 118 yards through the air last week, which is that's pretty damn good. They're allowing 6.4 yards per pass attempt. That's third best in the NFL, and they've got the lowest passing touchdown rate allowed in the NFL. So their pass defense has been really good. I think that you need to run the ball to have some success against them. And it does look, by the way, that Darnell Washington's going to play, which is huge. He practiced yesterday. If he had not, I'd be getting worried because, weirdly, like if Rodgers is the MVP and the offensive MVP, can you make a reasonable argument that, like, Darnell Washington could be second?
Yes. And for the reason, because of what we don't see and what people don't pay attention to, and that's the blocking.
You guys need to beat me up. Kevin Green was obviously a Ram, not a
That's
Trojan.
What I was wondering. I was like, man, you know what? I'm pretty decent at this stuff. And I was a huge fan of the 90s Steelers. And I know Kevin Green played for the Panthers. But I don't remember him playing for the Chargers.
Nah, I'm a dumbass.
Man.
Yeah, that's what happened there, is me being an idiot.
Yeah, I was like, man, I must have missed that one.
Yeah, it's San Diego Superchargers, and you got the Los Angeles Rams, and it used to be the St. Louis Rams, and I'm an idiot.
It's been a while. Can I play the sounder?
Please
just for
do.
Fun?
We'll knock around a lot. Mother bleeper. Totally deserve that one. What the hell am I doing today?
Mm-hmm.
What the hell am I doing
today? Is
there
any other crossovers?
Yeah.
That are worth it?
Yeah. Kalen Ballage. Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Obviously. Mark Malone.
Hmm?
Derek Watt.
Hmm.
Ladarius Green.
Oh, yeah.
Mike Williams. Crezdon Butler. Remember him?
Yeah.
Corner.
I played with him.
Did you? Nice guy?
Yeah.
Tyrone Carter. Oh, Tyrone Carter with the, he was big in that Steelers, Ravens AFC championship back in 2008, Tyrone Carter. Backup safety. Pretty good player. Desmond King. Yancey Thigpen Doran.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Bobby Shaw.
Okay.
There you go.
There we go.
I'm just going to say all the guys so people forget that I was an idiot moments ago. You agree, get the run back going again this week?
Yep. Yep, I did, but we just wonder how they're going to do, especially with the extra tackle. Like, who's that going to be? How's that going to look? Is that the way they're going to establish the run? But I do think that they will use it. I'm just interested to see who's where. What's so funny?
Texter, similar body type to Kevin Green, as in you both have two arms, two legs, a torso, and a head? Yeah. Yeah. That's a pretty bad one.
Who do you have a similar body type to that is a professional football player?
None. It would have to be some kicker, right?
Yeah, I was going to say like Gary Anderson.
An old kicker.
Yeah. You're built like an old, he's all hunched over now.
Yeah, the modern kickers are pretty yoked up, actually, aren't they? Yeah. Texter, who knows sports on this show? Usually that's one of my best attributes is going into the Wayback Machine and being able to recall things. That was a bad. That was I stepped on one right there. Yeah,
I was
stepped on a rake, hit me right in the face.
It always makes you wonder too how much other things you say that we just.
Trust me, I recognize. I realize sometimes I say it, sometimes I don't. Mm-hmm.
412-928-9370. Texter, what happened to Najee Harris? He has had a rough go of it.
Achilles eye.
Yeah, blew his eye off with a firework. That's an overstatement, but that did happen. And then he blew out his Achilles. Texter, Rodrigo Blankenship.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
He was on game day. He hit a field goal for some money.
Texter, Danica Patrick. All right.
Listen.
If I did, I could walk right up into that locker room and get Rodgers to do that darkness retreat with Harry or the ayahuasca.
I don't think that they're together and they don't like each other anymore.
No, they definitely don't like each other. Mm-mm. No, she said he was an ass.
Right.
Yeah. She's real little, you know. I think that's why they texted that now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah.
Yes, Harry?
Oh, I was just agreeing. I think they hate each other from what I've heard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She got a pretty face, though. I thought she was pretty when I was in like high school.
So you think that's a hot take, that you think Danica Patrick's attractive?
That's not a hot take. I was just thinking that. I'm just saying what's on my mind. I don't.
Yeah, Danica.
She was a real pretty face. Yeah, no crap.
Mm-hmm. You could put her in your little pocket, Harry.
My little pockets?
Yeah.
I thought nothing on me was little, remember? I'm big.
He always finds a way to make fun of himself, even if I don't make fun of him.
If I get to it first, I feel better about it.
Do you think Darnell Washington's like the second most valuable player in the Steelers offense? He's right up there, man. He's definitely one of the top three most valuable guys.
Yeah. Yeah, him or Zach Frazier, maybe. Even though Zach Frazier isn't like lighting the world on fire.
Oh, he's been great.
It's very hard to play that position, especially in your second year. Like, he's very young, and you just kind of, whenever you don't hear from him, it's a good thing.
Your guy Faltan is fitting that bill, man.
Yeah, he's starting to.
Been a stud. Texter, Sebastian Janikowski. All right, I quit this segment. 412-928-9370. Let's grade the Steelers at the halfway point. That is where we are right now. You can't mathematically do it, so this is as good a time as any. We'll do that next. And really upsetting Antonio Brown news that came out yesterday.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Can chime in. Steelers at the halfway point. We'll get into that in a moment. Big news yesterday. Antonio Brown extradited from Dubai and arrested on attempted murder charges. We have been following this story. We knew that he had fled to Dubai to avoid being arrested and prosecuted. And, you know, I saw Steelers fans getting their jokes off yesterday on Twitter. I don't think it's funny, man. Like, this guy, I always thought, you know, when I first met him and was at the Steelers practices, like when he was a rookie and I was covering the team more closely just in the locker room at the time, thought he was a very nice dude. He was a 6th-round pick. He had a tough upbringing. He busted his ass harder than anybody else. When he was young, he was on the jugs machine.
Yep.
Long after practice, long after training camp practices. I mean, that guy, when he would do radio shows, would bring his own food, and then they would plate it for him so it looked like the restaurant served it, but he was eating what he was eating. He wasn't putting anything in his body that wasn't going to help him be a better football player. And I thought he was a shining example of what hard work can really get you.
Yeah.
And that all that stuff's still true. But I think what's happened to him, man, is really sad, because I think that the people he's surrounded with haven't helped him. I mean, obviously he's got issues, but I don't think he ever surrounded himself with the good enough people.
He's always had enablers around him.
That's a much more succinct, better way of saying what I was trying to say.
And it's a lot easier said, I guess, than done. It's like, all right, surround yourself with people that will, you know, lead you down a better path. But like, whenever you're somebody like Antonio Brown, you think of yourself as a god, and that nobody can tell you what to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's nobody that could tell him what to do. Not one person.
No.
And he wouldn't listen.
I think he has serious mental health issues. And, you know, whether that's from football or not, I mean, that's not fair to speculate about. But, like, the fish head in the freezer thing, like, there's so many examples. And I would almost guarantee he never got the help that he needed.
No.
And he never had people to legitimately talk to about stuff. And it's sad. I mean, that guy had the world by the balls, and now he could wind up going to prison.
And he was over there for a while, though. Like, well, what took him so long to go get him?
I think it takes time to get people out of Dubai, but I do not know.
I don't know either, but he was there for so long, I thought that it just all went away and he was back.
I thought that he was just going to live there forever and that they would never extradite him. I don't know the international laws or things of that nature, but I'll tell you this, he does not look like himself in the photo. It's alarming. And I think it's a cautionary tale. It's a sad tale, man. It really is. A hell of a football player. I mean, he's one of the best receivers we've ever seen. I mean, top five, I think, of all time when he was at the height of his powers. Like, people have been putting out, oh, who would you cut from this list? Larry Fitzgerald or Megatron or Julio Jones. I'm not going to cut any of them from the list. Stupid game. They're all great. Like, Larry, probably the best of those, that bunch. But Those guys are incredible players. He was an incredible football player. He was a six-round pick because he worked his ass off.
I'll never forget asking Andre Johnson what he thought about Antonio Brown because they trained together from Florida.
Yeah.
And this is our rookie year, me and Antonio's rookie year in 2010. I was like, what do you think about Antonio Brown? He's like, this is exact words. He was like, he has the most heart I've ever seen of an athlete. And that was Andre Johnson telling me that. And whenever you watch, and then I would pay attention to Antonio Brown and just watch him over the years. And I was like, that is spot on. Like, he played with so much heart.
Man.
He played like he was 6'5" and he was 5'9", 5'10". He played like he was 250 pounds and he was 180 pounds.
Oh, my God, he's one of the best combat catch receivers of all time. And when you talk pound for pound, he might be the best.
Yeah.
I mean, was he six? Was he even 6 feet tall?
No.
I don't think so. One of the best route runners of all time. And then he and Ben, the mind meld that they had. I mean, how many big plays did they make when Ben would escape the pocket and stuff like that? I mean, when he was at his best, he was indefensible. I'll never forget that. And we're not eulogizing the guy, but I'll never forget when they played the no-fly zone eventual Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. He put up over 200 yards, and they had Chris Harris on him. And Harris hadn't given up a touchdown all season.
Oh, right.
And he cooked his ass, dude. He totally cooked his ass. You couldn't stop him. Like, we talk about how the opposition has taken DK Metcalf out of the game. Best corner, put the safety over the top. You can game plan that. They threw everything at Antonio Brown. Couldn't stop him.
Nope.
Couldn't stop him. Unbelievable player.
Shame. That's a shame.
Texter, and this probably, we'll do the Steelers midseason look ahead or midseason evaluation coming up next, but here's a text. You guys should talk about the defensive player for the Cowboys who took his own life. Yeah, I saw Matt Rhule talked about it yesterday for 3 minutes, and it was really impactful. And it branches out from beyond sports, but you never, ever know what someone's going through. And the staggering quote to me from Matt Rhule was, he's like, I know there's someone on my team going through the same stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like you wear a sticker on your shirt that says, you know, I'm depressed.
And the unfortunate thing, and obviously it's all unfortunate and very sad for the young man and his family, but the unfortunate thing is whenever you're dealing with athletes, high-level athletes, they are the most prideful people on the planet.
Yeah.
And it is very, very extremely hard for them to show any type of emotion because they feel like that they are not allowed to show emotion. You're almost groomed that way your whole entire life, especially as a football player, to never show emotion.
Yeah.
So whenever things are going wrong, you are going to keep it inside, and you probably will never express that emotion until it is too late, which is the saddest part. That is the saddest part about being a high-level athlete that is actually going through internal issues or emotional issues is you're not allowed in your mind is telling you, you cannot show this.
You have to be tougher. Yeah.
And that's the saddest part.
Matt Rhule also said that it's tougher to be an athlete now.
No doubt.
Than when he was growing
no
up.
No doubt.
Because think about, I mean, he scored a touchdown the other night.
Scored a touchdown last week. No doubt. The hate that you get on social media.
Yeah.
I mean, there's times, and this is just a little, sidecar here, but I mean, I'll see, you know, you'll put in a bet for a player over under and it doesn't hit. If you go this week and just put $5 on whoever to say Ladd McConkey or whatever to go over on his catches and then say he doesn't, go search his name in Twitter and see and read all the comments that he gets.
Yep.
I have no idea how these guys deal with stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just because of that.
And then you put up the body armor, and I'm talking, I ain't going to let that bother me. Well, it does. I mean, it does. Like,
no doubt.
We're humans.
Yeah, you're going to look at it.
Absolutely.
It's a shame.
You can't avoid it. Can't say this show doesn't have levels, folks. What were we doing at 5:45? Pubic hair? We were doing pubic hair at 5:45. Great breakdown of the game at 7. And, I mean, this is I'm happy that the texter brought that up because I do think those conversations are different, but they're similar in that, I mean, they're both sad stories and cautionary tales. Coming up next, we will get back into the football talk. How do we view the Steelers now mid-season compared to how we viewed them coming into the season? 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. You can watch the show on YouTube. You can listen to our show on the Odyssey app. Also on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now we've given you more of what you want. You don't know you want it, but you want it. You can watch us on Twitter, live streaming the show there. We do it for the fans, Dorn.
No doubt.
Our adoring fans. Oh, and by the way, you can join us for a toast to the Fan at the Drum Bar inside Rivers Casino on Monday, November 17th. We're going to celebrate our Marconi. This incredible honor wouldn't be possible without you fans, our loyal listeners. So we're saying thanks the best way we know how. The Fan is buying the first 300 guests a drink, all on Bob Pompeiani's tab. Come raise a glass with us. Hang out with your favorite host. Celebrate another amazing year of Pittsburgh Sports Radio. Can't wait to see you there. I actually do think it's coming out of Bob's tab.
No, it's not.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
No, it's not.
I was about to say, jeez.
What grade would you give the Steelers season to this point?
B.
That's terrible. I totally disagree.
What do you give?
B. I mean, aren't they kind of exactly where we thought they'd be?
Yeah.
I think they just got there. The path is different. Yeah.
Yeah.
And is this am I allowed to say, is this okay? I feel better about him than I thought I would.
I do too, because of one reason. Aaron Rodgers.
So there's that. I got two reasons. And I thought the AFC would be better. I thought the AFC North would be better. You know, I thought they'd have to deal with Joe Burrow. Now, didn't help him the first time around. But let's say Joe Burrow did what Joe Flacco did the last time out. And then they had to play Joe Burrow again. I would not think the Steelers would win the game. I think the Steelers will wind up bouncing back and beating Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't feel that way if Burrow were healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd be like, oh, shoot, he's going to do it again.
Right.
Ravens are 3-5. The Chiefs are out of it. And then I guess if I had to pick the offense or the defense to be better, I'd want the offense to be better.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see that happening. We both thought Rodgers would be good. I can't say I thought he'd be on pace to set a Steelers record for touchdown passes. I mean, he's been their MVP. Yeah, so for those reasons, I feel better. But because of the Cincinnati loss, I'll dock him from like an A- to a B.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. They got there in a different way. In my opinion. No, there's still a lot of season left, and I'm not shocked. I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to be pretty decent this year, but I just, there's some things that he does that I didn't think that he was going to be capable of doing, even sliding into pocket, moving, doing things of that nature. He seems to have a real good grasp of where he's at physically and mentally, and being the leader of the team, it's just pleasant.
He's outperformed our already high expectations for him.
Right, exactly.
And the movement element, I think you're dead on. And you said his teammates have always loved him, and I needed to see it. And he's the leader of this team. So they need to go out and play better defensively this week and stack two good defensive performances for me to start buying in on that side of the ball. But offensively, you can't win playoff games unless you've got a great quarterback. And he's playing like a top 10 quarterback. So how could we not be satisfied? 412-928-9370. Chris Carter going to join us next to talk about the Steelers-Chargers matchup. Does he think the Steelers erred by not making a move at the deadline? Does he think Marquez Valdez-Scantling will play this week? All that and more with Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Going to rain today, 85% chance, high of 61. Tomorrow, high of 56, low of 44.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.